Chapter 13, reading from verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he hath power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, one must confess that a passage like this can be very difficult indeed to try to interpret and to understand. But nevertheless, it's here in the Scriptures, and it is here for us to consider. We have been looking onwards from chapter 12, and we have noted the dragon, the red monstrous dragon, who tried to kill the woman who brought to the birth a male child. And we have seen that this is the symbolism of the devil, who, because he cannot destroy Christ, tries to destroy the church, which is the woman. And now, of course, having failed to do that, he has to summon allies to help him. And last Sabbath evening, or the last evening we were together, we spoke about the awful monster that appeared out of the sea monster. John had gone to the shore, and as he was looking out to sea, and for the Jewish mind, you see, the sea always symbolized mystery. It was unknown, just as it still is unknown, the depths of the sea. And sometimes we are fascinated and caught up with the mystery that lies within the sea. And John, as he looks out to sea, he suddenly sees, breaking the surface of the sea, horns. There are 10 of them. And on these 10 horns are 10 crowns. And then suddenly the head of this monster breaks surface. But it's not just one head, it's 7. And then as this strange creature from the depths of the sea begins to appear, it's like a leopard. And then it's got the feet of a bear. And then it's got the mouth of a lion. And as John looks at this horrifying creature, he sees that one of its heads has been wounded to death. Now, of course, when you wound one head of a monster, you've wounded the whole creature. And yet, although this creature was wounded to death, it says his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon who gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him. So here was this horrifying creature. And we have interpreted that in this way, that horrifying creature is anti-God government. The crowns of government are on its horns. The horns are symbolic of its power. The seven heads are symbolic of the wisdom that's given to governments. And this creature is a terrifying creature. And now we come to the second creature that appeared in John's vision. I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns, like a lamb, so different, you see, to the first beast. The first beast was horrifying. It's the kind of monster that you would flee from. It's the kind of monster you would read about in science fiction, which would terrify you. But this other creature that the dragon brings up, you see, it's all the work of the dragon. It's all the work of the devil. So he brings up this other creature. And notice what it's like, you see, it's got two horns like a lamb. It's a lamb-like creature. It resembles Christ, you see. The Lamb of God that bears away the sin of the world. And here is the dragon, and he brings up this lamb. This beast. With two horns like a lamb. But it's so different from the lamb. It roars as a dragon. Now, what we want to do this evening is just to look at this description that is given to us of this beast, the miracles that it is allowed to perform, and the power that it exerts. And so we are given this description of the beast in verses 11 and 12. In appearance, then, as I have said, it's like a lamb. He had two horns like a lamb. And you see, these two beasts, the one from the sea and the other from the earth, receive their power from the dragon. It's the dragon, you see, who has created these creatures, who has given to them extraordinary power. And you will notice that it tells us that this second beast, the lamb-like creature, serves the first beast. Now, what do we think of when we think of the lamb in Bible terms? Well, we always associate the lamb with the Passover service in the Jewish festival. The slain lamb. This is what God said to Moses. He was to take a lamb without blemish. He was to take the blood of the lamb and sprinkle it upon the doorposts. It was an act of propitiation. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And when Jesus came into the world, and when he made his public appearance to be the great proclaimer of the salvation of God, not only its proclaimer, but also its initiator, John the Baptist, immediately he saw Jesus coming to him. He said of Jesus, "The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Well then, when this beast emerges from the earth, it's like a lamb. It performs miracles just as Jesus performed miracles. It causes men to worship just as Jesus causes men to worship. But you see, in reality, this lamb-like beast didn't bleat like a lamb. It spoke like a dragon, or rather, it roared like a dragon. In other words, what John is saying here is this, that there is nothing lamb-like about its nature. What this creature did was this, it concealed the dragon, the enemy of Christ. And of course, the dragon, the enemy of Christ, the devil, will do anything to fake Christ. This beast, you see, is nothing but a wolf in sheep's clothing. This is nothing but the devil's imitation of the Lamb of God. Oh yes, it looked innocent enough. Wasn't like the terrifying monster out of the sea. It had two small horns, not even big ones, but just two small horns like the lamb. Oh, it looked so innocent. But you see, this lamb-like beast was terrifying. And we have to ask the question, well, what is the symbolism? What is John conveying to us through this vision? You see, this was Jesus giving this vision to his beloved apostle on the island of Patmos. And Jesus was there saying to John, John, you're going to be bewildered by the events that are going to take place in the world that you live in. You're going to wonder what it's all about. Well, here I'm going to show you what it's all about. And I'll show it to you in pictures. And I want you to bear in mind these pictures. So what is the symbolism with regard to this lamb-like creature? Well, doesn't this creature represent to us false religion? False philosophy? In other words, this lamb-like creature is a parody of true religion, a parody of the truth. Now, let me just describe for you what he's like. We'll turn to Revelation chapter 16 and verse 13. I'll read these verses to you. Now, we'll be coming to this later on, but just think of this. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon. We talked about the dragon, the devil. And out of the mouth of the beast, that is the sea monster creature, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, that is the lamb-like creature. So this lamb-like creature is the false prophet. And then if we turn to Revelation chapter 19 and 20. It says this, then, this is the awful end of these creatures. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gather together to make war against him that sat on the horse, that is against Christ. And the beast was taken, that is, the beast, the sea monster, was taken, and with him the false prophet, that is, the lamb-like creature, that wrought miracles before him, which deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These were both cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And then if we turn to chapter 20, verse 20, we are given here a description of their doom. No, I've missed it. I've probably confused that, but we'll leave it there. We see enough anyway in these verses that we've read together that this lamb-like creature is the false prophet, and the false prophet is to be destroyed. Now, we read together, you recall, Deuteronomy chapter 13. I want to read some of these verses that we read together from Deuteronomy chapter 13. These words of Moses are very significant indeed. Listen to what he says. What he says. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the wonder come to pass whereof he spake unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. And so what we are saying here this evening is this, that this lamb-like beast is religion, but religion manipulated by the devil. This lamb-like beast is a perversion of true Christianity, just as the sea creature is a perversion of society. And society has been perverted by the devil. And religion has been perverted by the devil. And the devil uses these two allies to turn men and women away from God and away from Christ. And that is the meaning, I believe, of these words that John writes down for us here in these latter verses of Revelation 13. But let us go on to notice the wonders that were performed by this beast, this lamb-like beast. What did he do? Well, he made fire to descend from heaven. Now, isn't that just what Elijah did? The great prophet of Israel. The great prophet of Israel that cried to God to send the fire to consume the sacrifice. And the fire fell from heaven. No wonder the people in the days of Elijah were awestruck. Here was Elijah, the great prophet, revealing the tremendous power of Almighty God in sending fire. Well, here is this imitation of the devil. He does the same thing. And it tells us here that he performed miracles in the sight of the beast with the seven heads. That is to say, here is false religion performing miracles before godless society, before godless men and women in society, before godless governments. And of course, this lamb-like beast used great deceit to delude the masses. And not only that, but he made the people to make an image of that first monster. And then he made the monster, made the image to speak. So here was a strange thing. Here was this lamb-like creature making this image into a talking image. And he also laid it down that those who refused to worship that image were to be done to death. What are we to make of all this? Well, as we have said, this beast represents false religion, anti-God religion, religion that is under the control of the devil, religion that is manipulated by the devil in order to delude and to destroy men and women. Ah, you say, it's too far-fetched. Is it? Just read it, think it over, and you will see that this book of Revelation is absolutely and totally up to date. People might have said 100 years ago, the book of Revelation is an old-fashioned book, it's a pagan book, it's out of date. I remember the Gaelic tutor that I had in Edinburgh University, Reverend John McKechnie. Don't know why he was called the Reverend. He had departed from his views as far as Christianity was concerned long ago, and one day he was telling us all about the old Celtic writers and the culture of the Celts away back in primitive times. Ossian and so on. And he referred to the book of Revelation as an old pagan book, just like these books were. My dear friends, there is nothing pagan about this book. It's bang up to date. You remember when Moses performed miracles before Pharaoh? It tells us that the magicians of Egypt were able to perform similar miracles up to a certain point. And it's extraordinary the power that the devil uses. And the power that the devil is using today is similar to what it's been in other ages. Take, for example, and it looks almost Christian-like religion, and in many respects it has all the forms of Christianity about it, and that is the Roman Catholic religion. But what do you read about it? Well, here is a statue, you see, of the Virgin Mary. People have seen it move. Some people have said that they have seen the statue with a teardrop in its eye. You see, this is the sort of thing that happens. Take the Mormons, for example. And they have their place across on the other side of the river. And you see their young men going out as missionaries, so clean and tidy. Lamb-like creatures. What happened to Joseph Smith, their leader? Was it not that he got the golden plates from heaven which came down to him, and only he alone could read them and interpret them? And when you ask, where are the golden plates, let us see them. They're not there, you see. They've disappeared. And so he founded the Church of the Latter-day Saints with all its extravagances. And many people follow. The miracles, you see, are performed by this false religion. Or take the Prophet Muhammad, who came 400, 500 years after Jesus Christ. Oh, he claimed, you see, when he was there in the desert at Mecca, that he had received this tremendous revelation from God, that he was God's son, that he was God's special prophet. And so he wrote the Quran. And look at the millions who follow Muhammad. Lamb-like creatures, but the voice of the dragon. You only need to listen to the Ayatollahs calling for violence. You only need to listen to the voice of these men coming from their minarets, calling people to prayer. And it's not hard to think of this, that the day might come when they might become so powerful, and even in this country, where they are beginning to proliferate as they have never proliferated before. The day may come when, unless you have their mark, you will not be able to buy or sell unless you have their mark on you. It's not unreasonable to suppose. Well, when this beast, this lamb-like beast, causes men to worship the image of the first beast, doesn't that mean that he caused men to believe in and to worship a godless pagan society. You see, these two beasts, the one from the sea and the other from the earth, are agents of the devil, and they work in perfect harmony with him. And they represent, you see, anti-Christian government and anti-Christian religion. And the devil loves to make it like that. You see, as we were saying last Sabbath with regard to anti-Christian government, it's not just, you might think of Russia, oh yes, that's anti-Christian government. Russia that bans everything that is almost Christian from its society. But as I said last Sabbath evening, we've got to be very careful, because we in the West are becoming guilty of this too. And what are we interested in the West? Well, we're not doing what the Russians did, saying we don't believe in God. But we're doing precisely the same thing in another way, because our emphasis on Western society is upon food and drink and pleasure and wealth. And all these things cause us to bow down before the state. And we are saying, as it were, to this ugly monster, you give us what we want and we will worship you. And we are living in a society where the philosophy is, let us eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And you see, just as it is in the States, so it is with regard to religion. And people will say, well, we've got no objection to religion so long as religion is easygoing. And so long as it pleases our lower nature, we will allow that kind of religion. But we don't want the religion that imposes moral discipline. No, we don't want that. We don't want the religion that Christ imposes on us, where he calls for holiness of life, dedication of life to God, purity of life. You see, as we see it, it's all the work of the devil. It's all the work of this awful dragon, as he is called in the book of Revelation, who is using every means at his disposal to divert men and women from the business of doing what God wants them to do, and that is to remember their Creator and to love their Creator. But we must hurry on. Let's consider as well this about this lamb-like beast. The power that he exerted, it's there in verses 16 through to 18. He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 600, 66. Now, do you see when we read that? Do you see how this false religion imitates Christ at every point? What does Christ put upon his people? He puts upon his people his mark, the mark of Christianity. And the marks of the Christian are there to be seen in their lives of devotion to God, of holiness, and of the keeping of the commandments. These are the marks of Christianity. Well, here is this lamb-like creature, and he puts his mark upon his followers. He causeth all, both small, great, rich, poor, free, bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. So that all sorts and conditions of men have to receive these identification marks. And if they didn't have these identification marks, they were prevented from obtaining the needed things of life. Now, what does it mean when this beast puts a mark on the right hand and on the forehead? Well, the right hand, there it is. It's the working hand, isn't it? It's the hand of activity. And this is a book of symbolism, and we've got to try to understand the symbolism. Well, if a mark coming from the beast is put on the right hand, it means, doesn't it, surely this, that all our activity, if we are belong to this terrible creature, all our activity is manipulated by him. And then with the mark on the forehead, what is the forehead? That's where the brain is. That's where your thought processes begin. And so what the devil does through this religious creature is to see that our thought processes are masterminded in the way that he wants them to be masterminded. And so just as Christ gives his mark so that his people follow him and live lives that are in conformity to his, so this lamb-like creature imparts his mark in order that those who follow him will think and act accordingly. And the question that we must ask ourselves here this evening, whose mark have you got on you? You're here in this church. There's something religious about you that has brought you here to this house of God. Have you got the marks of Christ? Or the marks of the beast with the two horns, the two lamb-like horns? And then we come to this strange verse. Here is wisdom, verse 18. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. 666. You know, all down through the ages, men and women have wondered, what does it mean, 666? And there have been various interpretations put upon this number. Who is this strange person that's mentioned here? Is it Nero? Was that who John was referring to, that awful monster of a Roman emperor? Nero! Was he the beast? Or again, what about Caligula? That other awful monster of the Roman Empire, was it him? Or what about that dreadful man who persecuted so mercilessly the Christian church, Domitian? Was it him? Or what about Muhammad? Is he the 666? And coming down nearer to our own generation, Napoleon, some used to think it was Napoleon Bonaparte. And I remember as a young man, during the last war, people wondering, was it Hitler? Was he the awful monster? The monster who put to the gas chambers these 6 million Jews? The monster who created terror throughout the whole of Europe? No, we would be misunderstanding the whole chapter if we thought of it in terms of one man like that. It means, doesn't it? At least this is what we think it means. That this lamb-like creature with the number 666, it means, you see, doesn't it, that his work ends in total failure. although he has been given this power by the devil, the dragon, and although he can do all sorts of wonderful things and manipulate men and women to do what society wants them to do, if it's a godless society, yet it always ends in failure because, and I quote here Hendrickson the commentator, and I must express my indebtedness to him for this interpretation. Hendrickson puts it like this: 6 is not 7, and never reaches 7. And of course, we were talking earlier on in this book of Revelation that 7 is always the perfect number, isn't it? 6 is not 7 and never reaches 7. It always fails to attain perfection. That is, it never becomes 7. 6 means missing the mark or failure. 7 means perfection or victory. So when you read these numbers, 666, it means with regard to this lamb-like creature that his whole work is failure upon failure upon failure. 666, failure, failure, failure. My dear friends, how John would have rejoiced. He could see now, as his master was showing to him all this, he could see now that Christ was going to be victorious in the end. That Christ was going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that this horrible dragon, with his two allies, the monster from the sea and the monster from the land, anti-God government, anti-God religion, were defeated. Their end was to be terrifying, cast into hell, cast into the lake of sulfur. Leon Morris, the other commentator that I was reading on these words, says this: civilization without Christ is necessarily under the dominion of the evil one. Civilization without Christ is necessarily under the dominion of the evil one. And that civilization, believe you me, is doomed. This morning we were talking about the flood. Why did the flood come? Because that civilization had failed God, and it was doomed by the flood. Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities of the plain, given over to their sexual aberrations, destroyed by God, by the fire coming down from heaven. And as we reach the climax of the ages, and as history draws to an end, what does the Bible say is going to happen? The world will melt with fervent heat. The dragon is doomed. The monster out of the sea is doomed. The lamb-like beast is doomed. And all who are associated with them are doomed. Where is your hope tonight? There is Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God. He originated in heaven. The wisdom that he gives is heavenly wisdom. to bring glory and honor to God. On the other hand, here is the Lamb of the earth, the Lamb of the devil. He originates in the earth. And as we were reading in James chapter 3, the wisdom of that creature descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. I would ask you, dear friend, to believe in the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Believe in the Lamb of God, in Jesus Christ. Crown him as your king. Take him as your savior. On no account, I would plead with you, on no account, follow the Lamb who has the two small horns and who is just the creation of the dragon, the devil. In other words, see that your religion and your beliefs in religion are not false, but see that they are true and based upon Christ. Let us pray. O Lord, we thank thee for thy word of truth, and as we sit with it and as we go over it, we bless thee, O Lord, for what it reveals to us, and we pray that as we consider the implications of our faith, may we indeed gladly rejoice that our trust is not in an earthly creature, but our trust is in the heavenly Son of God, the Lamb of God who takes away sin. O Lord, forbid that we should be following that other Lamb who leads to destruction and to hell, but may we follow the Lamb who leads to heaven. And this we ask in his name and for his sake. Amen.